And it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by Kara Pace and Lori Fisher. This is KALW, San Francisco. And it's got to be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damien, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a very pleasant Saturday morning and hope we can be part of that pleasant Saturday morning. Minds Over Matter, after all, is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, what we are looking for is your participation. We love to hear from you, and we do hope you will give us a call with a question or possibly to answer one of our questions you'll be hearing in just a few minutes. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. For those who prefer not to call and would just like to use email, and that is certainly possible, that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, our first choice would always be to talk to you, but if you want to use email, that's fine. It's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And of course, with Damien at the helm, the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today. And that will also be at kalw.org and many other places, but start with KALW. That's always appreciated. Once more, the two numbers to join us, and this is a great time to do it, I'm telling you, 415-841-4134 or toll free, 866-798-8255. All right, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions to give you an idea of what the show is all about for those who have not heard us before. And here's the first. Kara Pace continues to know the difference between Greenland and Iceland. I said Ireland. And wonders if there's a trophy for that.
I do also know the difference between Greenland and Ireland. So,
oh, good.
It all works out.
Just one letter, though, you know.
This week, Lori Fisher was very pleased to learn he had something very much in common with the film Wicked for Good. They both received exactly the same number of Oscar nominations. He'd like to thank the Academy.
I do. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is just back from Europe, where nobody uses ice. Looks like they have the right idea.
All right. That is us. And we begin the questioning with Kara Pace.
British writer Sue Lim coined the portmanteau bonkbuster to describe commercial romance novels characterized by glamorous, financially independent female protagonists and frequent explicit sexual encounters between characters. To test your literary knowledge, I'm going to give you some bonkbuster titles and I want you to tell me the acclaimed author of each.
Wow.
Okay.
So these are
acclaimed as in how acclaimed? Because they sell a lot of books, kind of acclaimed?
Sure.
All right.
And like, we're likely to have heard of them. That would be part of their acclaim?
I would expect.
All right.
Okay. I have five of them for you.
Great.
You may have one each. The first is Scruples. The second title is Hollywood Wives. The third is a 1982 novel called Lace. Number four is from 1988, and it's called Rivals. And finally, from 1973, Once is Not Enough. So Scruples, Hollywood Wives, Lace, Rivals, and Once is Not Enough. Very popular books from very popular writers.
Do you have the years for the first two? I missed them.
I don't. They're both, okay. I believe, in the I think Scruples is late 70s. Hollywood Wives, I believe, is early
Yeah,
80s.
Scruples is definitely 70s. That goes back a ways. Scruples I can answer because that's sort of.
You read
No, I haven't read any of
it.
these, but I've certainly heard of them because they usually made miniseries or something out of them, you know?
Sure, Hollywood Wives was a miniseries with
Yeah.
Candace Bergen, if memory serves.
Wow.
And Scruples is Judith Krantz.
That is correct. Scruples by Judith Krantz.
Nice. Whew.
Yeah.
You know, I have a feeling this is a collaboration. Is one of them Irving Wallace, Dana? Are
Could you go over the list one more time?
all of
Sure.
them?
The ones we have left are Hollywood Wives, Lace, and that is from 1982, because there are other novels called Lace, but 1982, Lace, from 1988, Rivals, and finally, Once Is Not Enough.
No, I don't know about Irving Wallace. It's possible, but
Yes, I got.
I think they're mostly women authors.
Well, I'll. Okay, how about Once Is Not Enough is Jacqueline Suzanne?
Very nice.
All right.
I did not give you Valley of the Dolls. That was too easy, but
Too
nice
easy.
job.
All
Once Is
right.
Not Enough, Jacqueline
The
Suzanne.
memory just jogged there. All right.
Yeah.
Do we
Yeah,
have a Dana? We have a bell this week.
we do.
You're
All right,
beautiful. All right.
so left for the audience, looking for the authors of these three novels, Hollywood Wives, Lace, and Rivals.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And Laura, you go ahead.
All right. Well, of course, the Academy Award nominations were announced this week, so I'm combining two things. The one that caught my eye was a movie I didn't think would be nominated called F1. And appropriately, it's the numeral one. So I'm looking for films that were nominated or won for Best Picture that have numerals in the titles. So let me give you a first ex a couple of exceptions. A movie like It Happened One Night and 12 O'Clock High don't count because they spell out the words. These are words that actual numbers are in the title. And the other thing I have to eliminate, because there are a bunch, is if there's a suffix. So Miracle on 34th Street and Seventh Heaven, because they have a little suffix TH on there, I'm eliminating those. So there's nine of them, nine movies that were nominated or won Best Picture that have actual numerals in the title. And I'll give you, oh, maybe two each at the most.
Should I start with 8.5?
Not nominated for Best Picture. It was nominated for Best Foreign Picture at the time. That would count,
Well,
but it didn't make it.
what about 9?
Nine wasn't nominated either. Great guesses. And I should say this, it's not the entire title. You know, the numeral is embedded in the title. So those are two numbers only, but weren't nominated.
How about the Broadway Melody of 1936? Was
Yes, that
nominated.
would count. That's the earliest one on the list. Very good. Give yourself a bell on that.
Oh, really? I thought Gold Diggers of 1933 was on there too.
It wasn't nominated, I don't think. I've checked twice, so callers might find me wrong. But yeah, Broadway Melody of 1936 is on there.
All right.
Keep going.
All right. I have to think about the other ones now.
Okay.
Was 2012 nominated?
No. 2012 was not nominated.
Was 2001 nominated?
No, which surprised me. I was sure that would be.
Huh.
Well, what about 2010?
The movie title 2010? No,
No,
not
the
the
follow-up to
Dune.
2001.
Yeah, neither one made the nomination list.
Oh, Blade Runner 2047.
Not nominated.
What?
I
Okay.
know. You're making me think I should have checked three times, checking it twice.
All right, just get the question once more.
Okay, so I'm looking for movies that either won, two of them won, or were nominated for Best Picture that have a numeral in the title. And Dana got Broadway Melody of 1936, and we eliminated ones in which the word is spelled out just so people know. So a couple others, Million Dollar Baby, A Thousand Clowns don't count because the word appears in the title. I'm looking for the numeral, and we only have one so far, and it's Broadway Melody of 1936.
All right.
Audience, check me out.
And let me just remind you of the phone numbers once more, because we're waiting to hear from you. 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. About Iceland and Greenland. Greenland was actually Iceland. should be called Iceland, and Iceland should have been called Greenland, but the Viking lied to keep people from going to Iceland, which was green. Greenland was actually full of ice. You know the story, right?
Yep. And Greenland was named, it was basically a marketing ploy by Eric Thorend.
A marketing point, yes. Let's talk about education. Quality education is free in most countries in the world, poor and rich, including, you know, most European countries, Egypt and some other. But there's four countries actually to give you money to go to college. Can you name any of them?
How about Egypt?
Yes.
All right.
Getting almost $2,000 a month. How about a couple of others? One who mentioned a minute ago. One who mentioned a minute ago about Iceland.
No. Is it Iceland?
Who owns Iceland?
Well, how about Finland then?
Greenland. Who owns Greenland?
Denmark does.
Denmark. Okay. How many Americans file for bankruptcy because of health care every year? Roughly. I'll give you a choice. Over 100,000? Over 500,000? Over 600,000. How many?
Boy, you're gonna lose a couple of tires with a U-turn like that. let's see. I'll say 100,000.
And I'll say 600,000. Kira, what do you got?
600,000. By the way, my sister had cataract operation in Egypt. It was $200. I paid $22,000 at Oslo Pates. Always get show. Everybody, please donate to GLAW because we need it more than ever, ever, ever. Education is very important. Without education, how do we have engineers, our teachers, or physicists? And now Trump is charging, canceling all of the loan agreement and now putting everybody in collection. That is just unbelievable. By the way, Cal was free and when I was a student there for 14 years. Tuition for out of state student, including myself, $500 a semester. Great show. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you very much. Bye. Damien, question to you. Can we turn up caller volume at all? That'd be great. Thank you. And let's see. Oh, it's my turn. What am I talking about here? All right. Let me give you a couple questions. So, first question is, I was looking at, there was something in the New York Times, I don't know, a couple months ago that I cut out. And it was the most frequently assigned books in high school, American high schools, between 1963 and 2024. So most frequently assigned books for, usually for English lit, okay? That's what we're talking about, or English in general. So what I would like are the three most assigned one-word title books in high school English between 1963 and 2024. The three most assigned one-word title books in American high schools between 1963 and 2024.
Are these all novels?
No, they are not.
Oh. Okay.
But they're all fiction. They're all, just so you don't, I don't want to mislead you.
Oh, okay. They're all fiction. Okay.
Yeah.
Hamlet.
Hamlet is indeed one. Very good.
Okay. So they're not, okay. Very good. How about, 1963. So how about 1984? Would that count?
No, it would not.
It's not on the list or it wouldn't count?
I don't think it would count or it would be on the list.
Okay, because it taught a lot in the 60s and 70s. I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Kira looks very satisfied with herself.
Yeah, well, that's a great answer. Yeah. Now, there could be. I'll top on that. How about Macbeth then?
Macbeth is indeed the other one. One of the other ones, yes. So there you go.
So we need one more.
Yes. So what were the three most common one-word title books assigned in high school English in the U.S. between 1963 and 2024?
Is this one also drama, or is it? Is this one a novel, the last one?
It's more in the form of a novel.
Was it written in the 20th century?
Yes.
Okay, so skip 300 years. I'm trying to think whether I would have taught it. Go ahead. Carrie, you look like you have something.
No, it just in the form of a novel. So does that make it like a novella or I'm mostly just having trouble coming up with one word titles. Every good thing I think of has more than one word in it.
Yeah, the Crucible's close, but that's
It's
not
mostly written
it.
in the it's mostly written in the first person. I
Yeah.
would say, yeah.
Sounds Faulkner-y.
He's not,
Yeah, but there are
I don't
no
think he'd be
people.
on the list of the, no, and I can't think of a one-word title that would have been taught a lot anyway in high school. There's
All right.
Beloved, but I don't think that would have been. If we're going back to 63,
It's not that. It goes back that far.
okay. All
Um,
right.
okay, leave it out. All right. So once more, the three most common one-word title books assigned in high school, in American high school English between 1963 and 2024. It's still, of course, as in 2024, it's still a widely read book. And second question. So what I'm going to do here is combine history and literature. I'm going to give you six extremely well-known fiction books of fiction in American history. Not about American history, but just dealing with the history of American literature. And I want you to tell me who was president of the United States when they were published.
Okay.
All right. I could give you the years they were published, but I think that might give too much away. But we'll try it without the dates at first. So again, these are six very well-known American novels. And I want you to tell me who was president when they were first published. Number one, Last of the Mohicans. And I'll tell you, of course, that's if they're what century they are, 19th century. Number two, The Scarlet Letter. Number three, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Number four, East of Eden. Number five, The Call of the Wild. And number six, Portnoy's Complaint. So again, these are six important American novels. I want you to tell me who was president when they were published. There are no repeats, by the way. Number one, Last of the Mohicans, 19th century. Number two, The Scarlet Letter, also 19th century. Adventures of Tom Sawyer, also 19th century. East of Eden, 20th century. Call of the Wild, 20th century. Portnoy's Complaint, 20th century. So I'll give you two guesses each if you want.
I think East of Eden, I think it's going to be Eisenhower.
No.
Okay, then
Glad
Kira,
you said that. That was my guess too.
okay, but
Although,
I think it's just before that, if you want to guess the president, but I think.
I'll let you have that.
Okay.
I'm going to try Adventures of Tom Sawyer with Teddy Roosevelt.
No.
Okay.
I think it's, when's Teddy elected?
Teddy was elected in, well, he succeeded to the presidency when McKinley was shot. So that started in 1901.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's before that,
Right. Yeah,
correct?
you did
Yeah.
say that one was 1900s
And
or 1800s.
Scarlet Letter is, I think, around 1850-ish. You think it's earlier?
Oh, I thought it was, but
Maybe.
no.
Let me try again with East of Eden. How about Truman?
Truman is correct.
All right.
Yes, published in 1952, which
Yeah,
is.
that's what I thought. Oh, but before Eisenhower
That's
got
before Eisenhower. Yeah.
well, he was elected in 52, right?
Yeah, but he didn't take office until he
Yeah,
became.
okay.
And
Okay.
then does that make Scarlet Letter Jackson?
No.
And let's see, Kira, how about Portnoy's Complaint? I'm going to think it's Kennedy or Johnson.
Kennedy was my guess for that.
Okay. Kira guesses Kennedy for Portnoy. How about Johnson?
No.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, see,
And
I thought it went the other direction.
oh, so maybe it's Eisenhower then.
No, I'm sorry. No, Johnson's the right direction. I was thinking a little farther. I
You think it's later or earlier?
still think it's 60s, but I don't know.
That would have to be Nixon if it's
Nixon 68. Yeah, I was between Kennedy and Nixon for that. I was discounting Johnson entirely.
Okay. I'm going to go earlier then. I'll take my last guess on Portnoy with Eisenhower.
No.
Ooh. Eisenhower. I'm sorry. Portnoy, Nixon.
Nixon is correct.
All right.
What? So what year is it?
1969.
All right.
Appropriately.
Yeah, really.
Nice.
So, okay. So just to repeat that question, what I'd like to know is who was president when these famous U.S. novels were first published? So we have Last of the Mohicans, The Scarlet Letter, Adventures of Tom Sawyer, East of Eden, which was answered, that was Harry Truman, Call of the Wild, and Portnoy's Complaint, which was answered, that was Richard Nixon. So anyway, there we are. And the three most common one-word books assigned in high school English between 1963 and 2024. So far we have Hamlet, Macbeth. We're still looking for the third one on that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
And a chilly good morning to you all.
Hi.
It's Peter on Bernal.
Hi, Peter.
Was the Scarlet Letter published during the presidency of Franklin Pierce?
No, but you're closer
Buchanan?
than most so far. No, not Buchanan.
Okay, well, somewhere in there. I have a question, and it kind of follows on that we've been talking about Shakespeare characters. I'm going to be giving you the release year and the name of a film whose title has been derived from Shakespeare's plays.
Okay.
I want you to tell me the play that the phrase comes from, who spoke it in the play, and as much of the line that it comes from as you can.
Oh, wow. You started out so well, and then it got more complicated, but all right.
It does. I have five of these. The first is 1959's The Sound and the Fury.
So that's from Macbeth, and it's spoken by Macbeth, right?
Yes.
And it's tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps at this petty pace. It's in that soliloquy. Is that correct?
It is correct.
It's not the line right after. Yeah.
Sound and fury signifying nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
So we get that one, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Bell on that one.
But it's used by Faulkner in Yeah,
it's the title of the fuck. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Next one is also 1959. The film is North by Northwest.
Oh, I am mad. North by Northwest. That's from Hamlet.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not North by Northwest. It's North Northwest. But it's in the way they say it.
It's got a line like I know a hawk from a handsaw in there too. Right.
Yep. Exactly.
All right.
Next one is 1983's Something Wicked This Way Comes.
What is that from?
That's from, I think it's from Macbeth, is it?
It is.
It's the witches, the toil, boil, and trouble speech, right?
Specifically the second witch.
That's, well, that witch, okay. Okay.
And the line? Do you know anything more of the line?
It's the double boil.
Oh, that's
trouble.
Pricking on my thumbs, isn't it? Is that the
yes.
one? The pricking on my
that's
thumbs.
That's the one.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
The next one is 1968's Where Eagles Dare.
Hmm. Is that Where Eagles Dare, Angels Fear to Tread?
No.
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 Not
eagles, but wrens.
Wrens. Huh.
I don't know this one. Tara, you got it? Dana?
Nope, I don't.
It's a tough one. Yeah, it's Richard speaking in Richard III.
Oh.
He says, the world is grown so bad that wrens make prey where eagles dare not perch.
Good line.
Yeah. Sort of appropriate for these days, I think.
Yes.
Finally, we have 1945's Leave Her to Heaven.
Well, I know that movie very well, but I'm trying to think where the Leave Her to Heaven is from.
Is it also from Hamlet?
It is.
Yeah, and it's when Hamlet's, he's talking about his mother and not killing her. Is that, I don't remember the line, but that's what it's from, correct?
That is the sense of the line, but it's not from Hamlet.
Oh, he doesn't say it.
Yes. It is his father's ghost speaking to him.
Oh,
right. That's right. That is right. Leave her to heaven. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Good question.
The line is, "Take not thy mind, nor let thy soul contrive against thy mother aught. Leave her to heaven, and to those thorns that in her bosom lodge to prick and sting her."
Good to hear Shakespeare on the show. Thank you.
It is. thank you so much. Appreciate it. And good weekend to you all.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the question. Bye-bye. There's a bell for everybody. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teaches at Davo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And let's see, Kira, I think it's your turn.
All right. I have a lead-in question for you that has three answers. And for each answer you give correct, it leads to another question. So there are three constituent territories that make up the Kingdom of Denmark. What are they? And again, once each gets answered, it unlocks a new question for you.
Well, is Greenland one of them?
Greenland is one of them. So you have unlocked the Greenland question.
All right. What is it?
All right. Well, do you want to unlock the other? There are two other constituent territories of the Kingdom of Denmark.
No, go ahead. To give glory is whatever.
All right. How long is Greenland's longest road? Notably, Greenland does not have roads connecting the settlements. Pretty much if you want to get anywhere, it's by dog sled or by the ferry that runs back and forth. It takes about a week to go back and forth.
Wow.
Or by small plane. But no roads connecting. So where is the longest, or I'm sorry, how long is the longest road in Greenland?
Dana, any help here? I know it's about three times the size of Texas. Isn't that the size of Greenland?
Yeah, roughly, I think.
All right. So, and it's not going to run the whole way. Kira just tipped that off. So we're going to be surprised at its shortness, I'm guessing. So I'll just start the bidding at 20 miles.
That is pretty good. I'm going to go ahead and give that to you. It's 22 miles long, 35 kilometers, like 21.7 miles, actually.
I think in our 10% rule, it's not even a gimme. It's like a triple bell. All right.
Yeah, it runs from Kongerlussuaq to the Kellyville Research Station. And it was built by Volkswagen.
No kidding. Okay. Yeah.
So I had trouble thinking of three territories. I mean, Greenland, obviously. And I know the Faroes, the Faroe Islands.
Yes.
That I was aware of.
Okay.
But
you have unlocked the Faroe Islands question. The easiest answer is still on the table here of the three.
The Virgin Islands?
No.
No, not the Virgin Islands. Because they used to own the Virgin Islands. And what do they have anything in the Caribbean anymore?
No, I'll give you a clue. It's in continental Europe.
So is it Denmark itself?
Denmark itself, that's right.
Well, they're going to do that.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so the three constituent territories that make up the Kingdom of Denmark are Denmark, Greenland, and the Faroe Islands. So the Denmark question for you is, the world's two oldest operating amusement parks are within the Copenhagen metropolitan area. What are they called? And
well,
when you think
Tivoli,
about it.
Because I've been there. I've been to Tivoli.
Yes. Tivoli Gardens, that is the second. It is the second oldest continuously operating amusement park in the world. It's been open since 1843. So
nice.
Looking for one that's even older than that. And while you think about it, the Faroe Islands question, the world's first undersea roundabout was built in the Faroe Islands Eysturoy Tunnel, which connects the island of Streymoy to the two different points on the island of Eysturoy. How deep is this roundabout? Which is to say, how far under the ocean is it?
Whoa.
Hmm. Well.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be an approximate sort of question, I guess. I don't know. So were they, okay, were they all built by man, or were they using, you mentioned some sort of.
The tunnels, the undersea tunnels?
Yeah.
Oh no, they were built by man, and a gigantic boring machine that you can see if you go to the Faroe Islands, they still have like the drill bits.
Mm.
So you want to know the length of these tunnels? Oh no, the
no, how under? Deep under the ocean?
Okay, I'll say 100 feet under the ocean.
No.
Okay. Even with the 10%, I'm not close, right?
That is correct. And just a fun fact, I actually got to go to this roundabout in the Faroe Islands, and I have never had such exceptional cell service as I had this far under the ocean at some random roundabout in the Faroe Islands. Just extraordinary.
Okay, let's see. I guess because of the large ships that travel in that area, it would have to be awfully deep. So I'll go 200 feet below, start there, maybe a little over.
Nope, it is deeper than that.
Wow, impressive. When was it built?
Oh, it was 21st century. I want to say even in the 20-teens.
Wow, okay.
Well, we can leave it, Yeah. Just repeat it, if you would.
Okay. First, I'm looking for the oldest operating amusement park in the world, which is in a suburb of Copenhagen. What is it? And also, the world's first undersea roundabout was built in the Faroe Islands Eysturoy, or was built, within the Eysturoy Tunnel in the Faroe Islands. How deep is the roundabout? How far under the ocean? Okay. The surface of the ocean is it?
You should say other than Tivoli for the amusement park, because that was already
named. So Tivoli is in Copenhagen proper, and right. That is the second oldest. So this is older.
All right.
By a lot.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
And hey, when you were doing introductions today, Kira, you said you knew the difference between Ireland and Greenland.
Iceland.
Not Iceland and Greenland.
Yes, that's right. That's what I wrote. It just did not get read that way, which I...
my fault.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question, or actually I have a guess. The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, was that published when McKinley was president?
It was not.
How about Theodore Roosevelt?
Or is that your second guess for Tom Sawyer?
Yeah.
No.
It's, okay. It's earlier than all both, right, Dana?
Yes, it is.
Oh, sorry. I think I missed that. And the depth of the roundabout, is it 350 feet?
It is deeper than that.
Oh, my.
Wow. Okay. I do have a question here. Do you know what Bott's dots are?
Yes. Those are the little reflective dots that you see in streets.
And do you have any idea who they were named for?
Were they not named for Mr. Bott, B-O-T-T?
Yes.
Any
idea who he was or why they were named for him?
He was a highway. I think he was a highway engineer, wasn't he?
He was a Caltrans engineer in the 50s. Yeah. He oversaw the research for them, and their usage in California was mandated in 1966. Now, how about a little different one? Do you know what a Moylan arrow is? M-O-Y L-A-N. And again, this has to do with driving.
Were those the arrows that were that you can see from the air?
No.
No, I think I think that's on your dashboard. So it's the fuel gauge, I think, something like that.
You're really close. It's the arrow on the fuel gauge that indicates which side the fuel door is on, or the charging door now. And the inventor of that died last month, James Moylan.
Oh. All right.
Okay, and one completely different question. The Winter Olympics are coming up in a couple weeks. And this isn't exactly a sports question, but there is only one country that has won a gold medal in every Winter Olympics. What country is that? There are six countries that have won medals in every Winter Olympics, but only one of them has won a gold in every Winter Olympics.
Ooh.
How about Austria?
It's one of the six, but not the one to win gold every time.
How about France?
No, it's not even one of the six.
Oh, all right. What
about Norway?
One of the six.
That's good.
Sweden, then?
One of the six.
All right, how about the United States?
There you go. Give yourself a bell. That is the only country to win gold in every Winter Olympics. I was so surprised when I read that. The other two countries are Canada and Finland. And do you recall what the last Winter Olympics was that was held in the same year as a Summer Olympics?
Ooh.
Was it 92?
Very good. Do you know where that Winter Olympics was held?
That was Lillehammer?
No, that's 94, 2 years later, the one that was the first one to be held in a different year. But 92 Winter Olympics?
I don't remember.
No, don't.
Albertville, France.
Oh.
What was
that? That was Albertville, France.
And where was the summer that year?
I'm sorry, that I don't have.
I want to say that was in Spain. Was 92 Spain?
Barcelona?
Oh, Barcelona, maybe. Maybe, I think you're right.
96 was Atlanta, and 2000, I think, was Athens. I think 92 was Barcelona.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyways, well, thank you very much. Really enjoy the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. All right, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call if you like. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And just before we go to take another call, let's repeat any questions that are out there. So, Kira, start with you.
Okay, I've given you some bunkbuster titles, and I just want the authors of each. The ones we have left are Hollywood Wives, Lace, and Rivals. Also, the oldest operating amusement park is just outside Copenhagen. What is it called? And finally, the world's first undersea roundabout was built in the Faroe Islands. How deep under the surface of the ocean is it?
And in the aftermath of F1 being nominated for Best Picture, I'm looking for movies that were nominated, or won the Oscar for Best Picture that have a numeral in the title. So not just the word, so not Anne of 1,000 Days or Five Easy Pieces. They have to have a number or numeral. The only one we have so far is Broadway Melody of 1936. And then we are looking for eight more of them. And like I say, all really well known, and two of them won.
We have some guesses on that from Danny and Sandra, and they're wondering about Butterfield 8.
Not nominated.
And 12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men was nominated in 1957. Excellent.
54, I think it would be 54.
54? Okay. I wrote it down wrong then. What else?
And Chris was wondering if one of the movies was Stalag 17.
No. And I was surprised that it wasn't nominated.
Okay. All right.
Good, great guesses.
Okay. And what I have here is I have the three most common one-word title books assigned in high school English in the United States between 1963 and 2024. So far we have Hamlet, Macbeth. What is the third one on that list?
Is it an American work?
I think it was written in America, but it's not an American author. And let's see. Yes, and the second question was, I want to know who was president when these famous United States novels were first published. The ones we have are Last of the Mohicans, Scarlet Letter, Adventures of Tom Sawyer, Call of the Wild, and yeah, that's it. East of Eden was gotten, that was Truman, and Portnoy's Complaint was gotten, and that was Nixon.
I have a quick answer for Lori. 12 Years a Slave.
Yes, very good. That won the Academy Award in 2013 for Best Movie. Great. So,
all right.
I have a guess on the one word title, because okay,
yes,
it's turned up on a list before, and I doubt that it really is. But is it Lolita?
It is not Lolita.
Okay, I'm glad, because that is not taught in high school. And one time it turned up on a list. Anyway, okay, good.
I think it should be that's the kind of thing that should be taught in high school.
Well, just my opinion. Apparently you're not in charge of high school curriculum anymore. Not. Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello there, everybody. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. I don't think this is right, but Metamorphosis for the one word title?
No. Okay. I like your imagination, though.
Oh, thank you.
I was taught that in school, but I think it's The Metamorphosis, isn't it? Oh, unless you meant, did you mean the epic poem or whatever?
No, I meant the Kafka.
Okay,
yeah.
I think that's the...
And he didn't
Beowulf.
Write it in the United States.
Not Beowulf, probably.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was my thinking. Okay, how about Rivals? Is that Jackie Collins for Bonkbuster titles?
That one is not Jackie Collins. And when I say that one,
but one of the others is, yes. Well, I don't think it's Lace, because I think that woman just passed away. So once is not enough?
We already did that one. So I'm going to give it to you as Hollywood Wives.
Oh, forget it. Hollywood Wives. Oh, I thought that was Jacqueline Suzanne. Okay, I got them mixed
up. No, Hollywood Wives is Jackie Collins, and then Once It's Not Enough, that's the one that Lori knew as Jacqueline Suzanne.
Oh, yeah, I've read so many of those, it just bleeds together.
they
okay, movies with a number and a title, Godfather Part Two.
Yes, I would count that one. I didn't know whether to have those count, but I do count them. Very good.
Around the World in 80 Days.
That's the other winner. Very good.
Which is, yikes. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
Two things. They spell out the word seven.
Gotcha.
But yeah, they don't have the numeral.
Okay. Catch 22?
Catch 22, not nominated.
Not nominated. Okay. And I don't think 12 Monkeys was nominated either, was it?
It was not.
All right.
Yeah.
All the 12.
All good I think it did have numerals. Yeah.
And then I'm going to give random guesses for the books, president books. Let's see, Scarlet Letter. How about Fillmore?
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
1850,
yikes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Tom Sawyer, Cleveland?
Not Cleveland. No.
No. Call of the Wild, McKinley?
Not McKinley.
And that's it. Oh, and the deepest roundabout. How about 2,640 feet?
That's so many feet. No, that's too many feet.
Too many
not
feet.
Going to
okay.
Core.
So we're between
well,
that.
It's only
and
half a mile.
Yeah.
Okay. And then since Dane is back, I got some sports questions.
Excellent.
Or one sports question. Tangentially. So, what non-American head of state has a Super Bowl ring?
Non-American head of state.
As an active player?
No.
Did as somebody, a team owner?
No.
Did somebody
buy it on eBay?
But related to it in a way.
Did somebody give it to him or did he buy it?
No, not really.
Used as a wedding ring.
Did you say foreign head of state? Foreign?
Yes. Non-American.
Right.
And did they come about it legitimately?
That's questionable.
Yeah.
Non-American Super Bowl ring.
I would say no, but.
And, okay. Would it help to tell us what team won that Super Bowl ring and that would that help?
I don't know if it would help, but it's the Patriots.
What about Putin?
Putin is correct.
Whoa. Did somebody, just one of their players give it to him?
No, no. In 2005, the owner, Robert Kraft, was part of a delegation to Russia. And during a reception after an event, they were standing around and Putin admired the ring and said, wow, that ring looks really looks like you could kill somebody with it. And asked if he could try it on. So Kraft gave it to him to try on and he put it in his pocket and got surrounded by a security and left.
No.
Yes. And Kraft has mentioned this numerous times in speeches and stuff. And he was told he complained to the U.S. government about it, saying it was a thing in the government. Said, well,
probably,
just let it slide. Say it was a gift.
Did kill somebody with it later on.
Yes. Wow. But as most recently as that Nikki Glaser roast of Tom Brady, the last thing that Robert Kraft said during his remarks was, Vladimir Putin, give me back my effing ring.
Huh. And what year did that happen, did you say?
2005.
Wow.
Yeah. Oof. All right. Great show. Yeah. Thanks as always.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We have a few minutes left. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Laura, do you have a quick question you want to throw in?
I do. I was surprised to learn that the Empire State Building changes its lights for various events. Certain things happen. And last 2 months, they've done it for two different things. They did it for many different things. One was the death of a musician, and one was an upcoming movie. So for what movie and for what musician in two different events in the last 2 months did that Empire State Building create a lighting thing to celebrate, if that's the right word, or to at least acknowledge a movie, period, and a musician?
How long ago was the movie?
It's this year.
Is there another King Kong coming out?
Yeah, I was wondering.
That'd be such a good thing, but it has nothing to do with King Kong. It has, I would say this, I think the movie is partly set in New York, and however it works to do that, it was a great publicity stunt. The hint would be the movie was considered to have one of the greatest public relations campaign in the history of movies, with lots of talk about it and appearances and recognition.
We're going up against Barbenheimer or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Going against Barbenheimer as far as
Wicked. It,
not Wicked. But
all right, leave that out. And okay.
The musician's very well known and died.
The musician is a rock musician?
Yes.
Who died?
Correct. Recently.
Is it the Grateful Dead's Bob Weir?
It is.
Really?
Yes.
From New York?
In New York. And okay. he was mentioned on numerous sports broadcasts because he was such a baseball and football fan. And the lights were kind of the tie-dye psychedelic colors we associated with the Grateful Dead.
That's correct. Very interesting to see.
Yeah. And I think the movie one, we'll leave it out there. We'll see if people get
it. All right. Leave it out.
Very well-known movie, current movie.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Yes, I am. Hi, you're on.
Hi, it's Norm here. I've got an answer for the amusement park in Denmark.
All right.
actually, I went there many years ago when I was working with my wife and we got engaged. The place is called Bakken.
It is. Nice job.
Nice job getting engaged there.
It's really nice. It's in the trees and it's all of the rides are made out of wood. So it's kind of creaky and scary like that, you know?
It has been open since 1583.
Wow.
So,
well, might I just mention too, the place is not called Copenhagen. It's called Copenhagen. Actually, it's called Copenhagen. Copenhagen is how they pronounce it. Okay, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
What is the name of Australia's other barrier reef? And what's the nearest town to it?
So
I do not know.
What part of Australia would this be off of? What is this, the Pacific side or the Indian Ocean side?
Well, it's a big thing if I tell you that one. It's the Indian Ocean side.
So it wouldn't be Perth.
No, it's not Perth. That's right.
It's the other side.
Perth is the correct side.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. North. We want north of that, I assume, right? Or are we going farther south than Perth?
Not much further south than Perth, I'm afraid.
Well, no, the Great Barrier Reef is off the...
That's northeastern. That's the northeastern coast. We're now in the southwest.
All right.
Not southwest.
That's
right. That's what I was asking. Is it northwest?
It's northeast, isn't it?
Because
Port Moresby.
Just to be clear, Perth is in the bottom left-hand corner. There's not much further south than Perth, so it's the northwest.
Huh.
That's the Kimberley or something like that.
Kimberley is in the middle of the desert. There's not much water there. Also just as a hint, there's a big American Air Force base there.
I don't know.
No. Don't know.
Okay. Don't know. You guys should go there. It's really pretty. Got lots of manta rays and those great big basking sharks. It's called Ningaloo Reef.
Hmm.
And I presume you don't know the town either.
No.
Nope. It's called Exmouth. It's as a big American Air Force base, helps track satellites and that sort of stuff. It also has emus walking through town. So it's kind of cool.
Oh. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the question.
No worries. Love your show. Thanks very much for entertaining us all.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. And next call, please. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hello, yes, hello? You're on. Yes.
Oh, yes, for the book most assigned to high school students, could it number three be McTeague?
Oh, that's a very good guess, but no, not McTeague.
Okay, or Beloved?
Not Beloved.
Okay, well, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. And next call? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Rebecca.
You mean the book, Rebecca, the novel?
Yeah, I just thought of it because we're the other previous person. No, it wasn't Edgar Allan Poe? Anyway, so moving on here, he wrote the book, right? Or was it a play?
No.
It was a book.
No,
right?
Daphne du Maurier.
Yeah.
Rebecca.
Okay, so moving on here, 12 Angry Men was mentioned earlier. What does that have in common with Dog Day Afternoon? Two things.
Sidney Lumet directed.
Yes.
And what else?
I want a bell for that one.
There's probably an actor in there that was in 12 Angry Men at some point.
Is that
no.
it?
No.
Non-actor?
No, it's a very cool thing. That you're like, of course, there aren't any movies like these. I mean, it's a unique thing about a movie.
unique thing about a movie, and it's only true for these two movies or many others?
Well, these are
shot in New York, I think. At least there's a little location work that's in New York. Was Dog Day Afternoon.
I'm not sure 12 Day Angry Man was just on one set.
Dog Day Afternoon, it's kind of in the title is what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Don't know.
Afternoon.
Angry Man.
Yes.
Yeah. What's that
they
to
take
do with...
place in real time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like here the next day and the next day. Anyway, there aren't many movies like that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Okay, here's a quick question. Have you ever heard, what is the source of the word? And I just found this out a few weeks ago. I just Googled it. Kaput. Where does that word come from? Kaput. You either know or you don't, and I never heard of it. Oh, that's kaput, meaning
doesn't it actually mean the word head, like H-E-A-D?
No.
No. Okay.
Like capo means head.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is from a card game that you probably never played. It's played with 32 cards. The game is called PK. Ever heard of that card game? It's a German card game.
Yeah, I've heard of. Yes.
And when you have no options, you're kaput. You can't go any further. Isn't that interesting? Kaput. You're beat. You're spent. Nothing more. No options. I'm kaput. PK.
That's a good word. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, just a little. And I was going to guess Ulysses S. Grant.
For what?
Was that
for
the president?
For what?
Tom Sawyer.
Yes. Ulysses S. Grant was president when Tom Sawyer was first published in 1876.
Nice.
You know, I kind of figured I picked the president who was around the area, who had the longest term. So that was it. Ulysses S. Grant. Do I get a bell?
You did. Listen more carefully.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. You there, caller? No? One more? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
It is you.
Great. Thank you. 46 minutes of holding. I had Jackie Collins for Hollywood Wives.
Nice job.
Thank you. And Apollo 13 for a movie nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, great. Very good. 1995. Very good. Great.
And Call of the Wild, Teddy Roosevelt?
That is correct also. You're on a roll here.
Oh, he's doing great.
So I also had Portnoy's Complaint, but, you know, that was Nixon. The Roundabout, is it 500 feet below the ocean?
You are the closest yet, and since we have no more callers, I am going to give it to you. Give him a bell. It is 620 feet or 189 meters.
Wow.
My hand is worn out from giving you so many bells.
This is Eddie in the Tenderloin. Thank you all very much. I enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you, Eddie. Appreciate it. All right.
Great job.
Okay, folks, time to clean up here. What do we got?
All right. Lace was written by Dame Shirley Conran, and Rivals was written by Dame Jilly Cooper. And that's what I have. Thanks, Eddie, for cleaning that up for me.
The Empire State Building was lit up for Marty Supreme. Somehow they got them to do that. And then movies with numerals in their titles that we did not get are Henry V, there's the V, the Roman numerals kind of a trick, District 9 in 2009, 127 hours in 2010, and 2019, 1917, and I would throw in Toy Story 3 if we needed to.
All right, three most common one-word title books assigned in high school English between 1963 and 2024, Hamlet, Macbeth, and Knight by Elie Wiesel.
Okay.
Who was president when these famous novels were published? Last of the Mohicans, 1826, John Quincy Adams, Scarlet Letter, Millard Fillmore, Tom Sawyer, we had U.S. Grant, Call of the Wild, Theodore Roosevelt. Yeah, I think we had them all now. So anyway, if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to our panel today. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor. Loya Fisher teaches at Dabo Valley College. I have been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks, as always, to Damian D. Minor for handing the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We appreciate very much your listenership. And we do hope you will join us next Saturday at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.